Good evening. So I'm back again. Tonight we'll be looking at a little more in-depth picture of actually kind of things that I use on campus to share the gospel with students. And there's a reason for that. This morning I was talking about, as believers, one of our greatest privileges is to know Christ in the gospel and to be able to experience his working. And one of the ways that we do that, according to Scripture, I'm going to read Philemon 6 to you, and then it kind of tells us a little bit about how we get to know Jesus. It says, "And I pray that in the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ." And so what Paul's saying here is the balanced part of a Christian life is, of course, studying your Bible, getting to know God through his word. Also, there's prayer, there's fellowship. But he's saying another key aspect to growing as a Christian is evangelism. And it's scary and it's intimidating. And it's something that we hear and a little bit of us cringes, or we have some pictures in our heads of these great prolific speakers going around and having crusades and tent meetings. And those things are all good. But for the average person, those things can be intimidating. But we're not called to anything lesser. We're not necessarily called to go do great things like preach to crowds of hundreds of thousands, but we are called to share the gospel and be witnesses for Jesus. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to kind of dive into a tool that we use on campus a lot. And so, Father God, I really do ask that you would come, God, that you would meet us here, that we would God, not only just be equipped to do what you're asking us to do, but God, we would feel a compassion and a drive to share the gospel with the lost, because Jesus, you are our only hope. And so we are weak. God, we fail you constantly. And we probably in this room feel like the last people who deserve to share the gospel. God, we probably in this room feel the least equipped or able because of our failures and our faults. And so, God, I pray that where we stumble, God, you really would meet us with your grace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, Father. Amen. All right. So like I was saying, evangelism is a key part of what it means to be a Christian. And I became a Christian, actually, and I'm pretty sure most of the people in this room could probably raise your hand and say, at some point in your life, you became a Christian because you heard the gospel. And so whether that was a Sunday school teacher, a parent, a preacher, or a friend that met you somewhere and shared the gospel with you, we come to faith through hearing the word of God. And so as witnesses, one of the things that we are called to do is share that word with others so that they may come to faith as well. And for me personally, I'm kind of outgoing and goofy, but I am not an evangelist. I struggle with that every time. I get a little nervous and shaky. And so when I became a Christian my freshman year of college, it was through a guy who met me in a cafeteria at IUPUI and invited me to do a Bible study. And shortly into his Bible studies with me, he shared the diagram that I'm going to teach you guys tonight. And it really helped me see and understand the gospel more clearly. And it's something that I've been able to use literally dozens to a hundred times over the past few years with students on campuses of various backgrounds, of various places. And then even when we're on our summer projects, Campus Outreach does these 10-week summer projects where we teach and equip students to be able to learn what it looks like to walk with God. And as I was saying, evangelism is a major part of that. So we teach these students this diagram, and students will go out and they'll walk up to complete strangers, start conversations with them, and share this diagram with them. And so I normally share this on a napkin, but you guys have the privilege of seeing me draw it on a whiteboard. I brought my computer. I had a PowerPoint set up. It was going to look all nice and pretty. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. And so I have the whiteboard. And so you have the unfortunate position of having to see me write and draw on a board. But yeah, so I'll kind of go through the diagram. I'll kind of go through what you need to know to do the diagram. And then my fiance is actually going to come up here, and we're going to demonstrate what this could look like when you meet somebody random on the street, or you have a friend that you're trying to share the gospel with, and this helps a lot. So I'm actually going to kind of go rogue. I'm going to take the mic away from the podium. And the reason why this is a helpful tool is because I'm sure as you're thinking about, is this okay that I walk around with this? Okay. I had to check with the sound guys. The reason why this is helpful is I'm sure if you guys sit down and you try to share the gospel with someone, all of a sudden everything that you know floods into your head and there's this giant question of what's essential, what's going to be easy for them to understand. And I know when I first became a Christian and I came back and I knew something was different and I was trying to tell my friends about Jesus, I just had no effective way to communicate the gospel to them. I was like, I don't know, but I'm this Jesus guy, he's awesome. Like, I don't know how to tell you he's the solution to your problems, but I know that he's the solution to your problems because he was the solution to my problem. But one of the things that we learned and one of the things I've used, and I had some pictures of people that actually have come to faith as a result of this diagram. It just helps us to keep it simple. And so in evangelism, one of the biggest keys is keeping it simple. It's easy to overwhelm people. And most of the people that we meet on campus or even just a lot of people that you meet nowadays are either nominally religious, meaning that, you know, they're Christian in a name, or they, you know, don't really have any type of religious affiliation, have never read the Bible, don't know anything like that. And so a lot of the ways that we do it is, first off, you start a conversation with somebody. Hey, how are you? Good. And so whether this is a friend or somebody you just meet on the street, one of the easiest ways to get to share the gospel with somebody that we use is a simple question. Do you have much of a spiritual background? Like, what's your spiritual background look like? Did you grow up in church? And a lot of times people kind of, like, it's not an intimidating question. They'll let you know, like, oh, I've never really grown up in church, or I've grown up in church, but then we stopped going at a certain point. And that kind of gives you a window in to say, well, do you mind if I share something with you that's been really helpful for me in understanding kind of more of this Christianity stuff? And a lot of times, out of just being nice, they'll say, yeah, that's fine. And so I share a lot of these in the cafeteria on napkins at tables. So you don't need a ton of resources. Where I don't have the napkins, I draw things in the air. But this is called the bridge diagram. So some of you may have heard of this. Some of you may use this. But for us, it's one of the most effective tools we have to share the gospel on campus. So you ask the person, do you have much of a spiritual background? They share their answer with you. And then a follow-up question could be, like, have you ever really read the Bible? Do you know much about what it says? And somebody could be like, oh, yeah, like, I've read it before, but I don't really understand it. Or they could say something along the lines of, I have no idea what it says. And so then you can ask them the question, do you mind if I show you this diagram? And the way that you lead into it is with Romans 6:23. And so with our students, that's one of the first verses we have them memorize. It's pretty easy. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you do that because you're saying, all right, I've got one verse. If I had to summarize the Bible in one verse, I would use this. I would say, man is sinful, essentially. So the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so you write out the verse. Let me do this. Pretend I wrote it out. If I write it out, you won't be able to see it, and I have to have room to draw the picture. So, So you write out the verse, and what you say is, this is essentially what the verse is saying. God created man to be in perfect relationship with him. And I'm going to pick a different marker. But what happened is man sinned. And so man was in perfect relationship with God. We were created to know him and enjoy him, but we sinned. And what happened when we sinned is there became a rift between man and God. So what you have is man on one side of a chasm. And then on the other side, you have God. And so it's kind of showing this picture. And then I normally use the illustration like, so picture the Grand Canyon. Okay. I was like, this is an eternal Grand Canyon. So there's no way that you can jump across this, no way you can get across this gap. There's an eternal gap, an eternal separation between man and God. And people are like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then what I said, so we're going to look at the verse. It's Romans 6:23, and we're going to break it down into kind of three parts. The first part is the first half, and that goes under man's side. It's for the wages of sin is death. And so what you'll do is you'll underline the key words there, which are wages, that's really loud, sin, and death. And then you kind of go through a little bit of defining these words for them. And so you say, okay, what's a wage? I have a friend that works in inner city schools in Indianapolis, and he was sharing this with a student, and he asked the kid, he goes, what's a wage? What are wages? And the kid's like the things you get at KFC? Like, he thought it was like potato wedges. And so that's not what they are. A wage is, you'd be like, what's a wage? And a lot of people, especially college students, are like, I have no idea. You say a wage is something you earn. Like, you earn an hourly wage. For this amount of effort or for this amount of work, you earn this. And so a wage is something you earn. And then so you would kind of keep that definition in their mind. And then you ask them, what's sin? A lot of common answers will be like, oh, well, sin is something bad that you do. Sin is, and they may name some specifics. And you say, that's true. But what sin is in the Bible is not just the bad things that you do, but God has called us to be perfect as he is perfect. And what sin is actually an archery term. So what do you aim for in archery? You guys can answer this out loud if you want. The target. What's in the center of the target? A bullseye, right? And so you're aiming for the bullseye. And what happens is if you miss the bullseye, the distance between the bullseye and your arrow is known as the sin distance. And so what you're saying is anything short of perfection is sin. And so hopefully what starts to happen there is they start to realize, oh, okay, well, sin is anything that's not perfect. I wouldn't call myself perfect, so therefore I've missed the mark in some of this. And so what we have earned for missing the mark is death. And I normally try to, like, you know, put a little bit of a joke in here to keep their attention going, and I use this stupid one. It's like, I heard a statistic. Let me know if you guys hear it, if you think it's true. I heard 10 out of 10 people die. Well, yeah, well, I think that's true. I was like, okay. So what the Bible's talking about here is there's a death that happens, but this is a different death than just ceasing to live, right? This death is an eternal death, or what people would call eternal separation from God or hell. And so what the Bible says, what God says about man is because we have sinned, what we've earned for our sin is death, is hell. And then normally, again, to kind of lighten the punch a little bit, I'm like, all right, well, have a nice day. I'll see you later. Hopefully you become a Christian. And they're like, oh, whoa, whoa. And so it's just a little bit of kind of letting that settle in. I was like, but thankfully, you know, there's a second half to this verse, okay? We're not just left here with this idea that you've sinned, so you're dead, okay? There's a second half of this verse. And then I would underline the next part of the verse, which says, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And I'm like, okay, so there are another few terms that we need to define. So there's gift. God. And eternal life. And so I would ask them, what's a gift? And so what you're kind of doing here is you're setting up these things against each other, okay? And so a gift is, and they'll be like, oh, you know, like a present or something. I'm like, yeah, it's something you don't earn, right? I'm like, so what do you get every year? Like, why do you get a birthday present? And they're like, well, because I was like, you made it alive another year. Like, you didn't really do anything to earn the gift. You get it. I was like, people should give presents to your mom. I was like, but you get a gift, right? It's something that you don't earn. And then there's the idea of God. It's like, who is God? And a lot of people, this is where a lot of people have some different ideas, and they'll be like, oh, he's like the man upstairs or this or that. And you're like, okay, great. But the thing that you want to get them to is the idea that God is a creator and he's perfect. And so he has all the authority because he created us, and he has the right to carry it out because he's perfect. And so you're setting that up against sin, which is missing the mark. And then if this is death and hell over here, what do you think eternal life is? If this is eternal separation from God, they'll be like, oh, that's an eternity with God. I'm like, you're right. That's great. So we have this over here. We have the two sides. You have the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And then this is the question that the whole thing is kind of built around. And this will tell you a lot about kind of where they are spiritually. And you will say, now the big question is, how do you get from here to here? And normally it's silent. Normally it's kind of uncomfortable, but you have to sit in the uncomfortability of it. I hate awkward silences. My mom always says, I started talking at 9 months and I haven't shut up since.
There's an awkward silence there, and you just have to kind of sit through it and let them kind of sit under the weight of, how do I get from my sinful state to this salvation offered over here? And so a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, like, be a better person, start going to church. I was like, okay, let's pretend that this is eternal gap, and each good thing that you do is a pebble, and you're just tossing it in. I was like, if this is an eternal gap, how long is it going to take you to fill this gap full of the pebbles of your good works? You won't ever fill it. You can't get there. And I was like, not only that, but Isaiah 64:6 says that even our most righteous deeds are like filthy rags. And I was like, so what you're doing is each thing that you do is tainted by sin. So all that you're doing when you're trying to earn your way is you're earning more death. So you're missing the mark. So you're not just, you know, working your way towards something. You're actually, the more that you're trying to earn your way to God, you're actually doing the opposite because you're sinful. And so you're creating a deeper and deeper chasm. I was like, and then you kind of let them sit under that for a minute. And then you say, at the end of the verse, it says, through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so hopefully you draw a little better cross than I did. But it's the idea, it's like Jesus came to earth in order to bridge this gap for us. And that's the name of the diagram, is the bridge diagram. And with this, I always use the verse 2 Corinthians 5:21. And it says, for God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we can have the righteousness of God. And this is going to seem like really kind of basic and kind of stupid, but literally what I do is like, pretend this is you, okay? And this marker is sin. We have sin and we can't get rid of it. I would try to give this marker to you, but you have a marker in your hand and you can't take it. So I'm running around looking for somebody to take my sin from me. But here's Jesus. What this verse is saying is God took Jesus, who knew no sin, to become my sin. And you switch hands with the marker so that when I trust in Christ, I can have the righteousness of God. So Jesus takes my sin so that I can be perfect. And so it's just a way to take some kind of higher theological concepts and make it into something a little more basic, a little more able to grasp. And so this is the name of the bridge diagram. And so for us, this is a great tool, not only because it kind of simplifies the gospel, but also it helps me figure out where people are based off of their answers in how they think they get from one side to the other. And so then after that, I'll normally ask them, I've got a short little scale here. This is called your spiritual journey. I'm going to write down some numbers from 1 to 5. And so I'll write down 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 5 is on the bridge. And so I'll say, let's do this. So I'll be like, so let me just tell you what these are. And then on a scale from 1 to 5, kind of let me know where you think you are. I was like, a 1 is somebody that's completely opposed to what I'm saying right now. You're giving me like 3 seconds or you're going to punch me in the face. Like, that's essentially what a 1 is. A 2 is, this is nice, but I don't really care to hear about this stuff. I'm not offended, but I'm not really interested in learning more. A 3 is somebody that says, I'm interested in learning some more about this. A 4 is somebody that would say, I've been thinking about this stuff a lot and there's just something holding me back. And a 5 is someone who's trusted in Christ and is a Christian. And so then you kind of ask them where they think they're on the scale. Most people I ask, really, like, which is kind of crazy, are they would say, I'm somewhere in between a 3 and a 4. And so then you ask them follow-up stuff like, would you like to start a Bible study? Would you like to start reading through the book of John with me? Would you like to keep talking about this stuff, dialoguing about this stuff? And it kind of gives you a way to keep building on to the relationship and keep investigating this stuff with them. Does that make sense? Okay. So now I'm going to have my lovely assistant come up here. And she is going to have this conversation with me. Oh. And the good thing about this is, like, if I'm doing it with somebody, it literally normally takes me somewhere around like 3 minutes to do it. So it's something that is short enough to keep their attention. I guess I'm drawing the diagram, not you. That would help. and something that's short enough to keep their attention, and you're not overloading them with information. And so let's pretend we've had this conversation, and I ask you, do you have any type of spiritual background? What's your spiritual background like?
I've grown up going to church like my whole life.
Okay, so are you interested in spiritual things, or is this... Gotcha. normally this one's a little, yeah, this is not practice, so this is more off the cuff. I never get this answer. But I would say, this is a little different now because you guys don't work for a college ministry, so this is where you kind of have to figure out, like, okay, well, I actually go to a church in town, and we're kind of just, like, asking people about where they're at spiritually. Just kind of, you can say it's like a survey, or you can say, you know, I'm just wondering where you're at, like, because this stuff has been a lot on my heart lately, and so... And do you care if I share this with you? So even with that answer, I would probably just be like, oh, well, like, I've got this really cool picture. Can I show it to you? It's been really helpful for me in understanding spiritual things.
I would love that.
Okay. Do you have, like, much experience reading the Bible and stuff?
I try to before I go to bed sometimes at night.
Okay. Do you understand it really well or not?
Not really.
Not really? Okay. Well, I've got this picture, and it kind of really helps simplify the Bible. So if I had to summarize the Bible in one verse, I would pick Romans 6:23. And it says this. It says, for the wages of sin is death. I'm writing this out on a napkin. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay? And so what that's saying is, at one point, man and God were in perfect relationship. But have you ever heard of a couple named Adam and Eve? Okay, so... Adam and Eve, what happened to them?
They got kicked out of the garden.
Right, right. So they sinned, right? That sin entered the world, and this is called the fall. And so what happens is, when Adam and Eve took a bite of the fruit, they sinned, and there was a separation between them and God. And so what happens is, there's this kind of eternal chasm created between man and God. And sometimes I'll use, like, some explanation of this, like, okay, so... say that you bought two brand new white t-shirts. Say you go out and you play in the mud in one of your t-shirts. Would you come and take your muddy t-shirt and throw it on top of the white one?
No.
Why?
Because it'll get the white one dirty.
Right. And so the same thing with us is, since man sinned and God's perfect, what God had to do is separate us from him, because God can't, if God's going to be eternally perfect and completely perfect, he can't associate with sin. Right, because that would mean he's not perfect. And so what this verse has is, it has the two cliffs, and then you would say, on man's side, we have the first half of this verse. Wages, sin, and death. Do you know what a wage is?
I just think of money.
Right, right. So a wage, like, you may get a paycheck, and it says hourly wage, $8 an hour. And that's what you earn for each hour of work, right? So a wage is, it's something you earn. What about sin?
Bad.
Right, yeah, sin is bad. But it's also got another terminology with it. It's an archery term. And so when you are an archer, you're aiming for a bullseye, right? And so what sin is it's the distance that you miss the bullseye by. So the distance between your arrow and the bullseye is the sin distance. So it's imperfection is what it really is. And bad things are that way. And then what about death?
I think dark.
Okay. Death is dark, I guess. But also death, like, I've heard the statistic. Tell me if you've heard it. I insert the lame joke. 10 out of 10 people die. And so it's like, oh, yeah. So obviously this is referring to something else, right? And so what this is referring to is an eternal separation from God, which a lot of people hear about is hell. So it's saying, because of our sin, what we have earned is hell. What if I were to leave you and just say, all right, have a nice day. Good luck.
That'd be really sad.
That would be really sad. But thankfully, there's a second half to this verse. And so you would say, on God's side, we see that there's a free gift, and it's from God, and it's eternal life. And so we have, again, gift, God, and eternal life. What would you say a gift is?
Something I get on my birthday.
Right. So do you earn it?
No.
Do you pay for it?
No.
So it's just kind of given to you?
Yeah.
Right, just because you survived another year, right? And so a gift is something that you receive that you don't earn. Who's God?
He is in heaven.
Okay, yeah, so he's in heaven. He's kind of the creator, right? In Adam and Eve, like we were talking about that earlier, God is the one that created them, put them in the garden. And then, like I said earlier, God's also perfect. So he created everything, and he's also perfect. So he has authority over everything, right? And then we have eternal life. What do you think that is?
Something that lasts forever.
Right. And so heaven, or if this is eternal separation from God, eternal life is being with God for an eternity, getting to enjoy him and know him, otherwise known as heaven, right? But the question still remains, how do we get from this side to this side?
Go to church.
Okay. Remember, this is an eternal gap. So this is, pretend like each good thing you do is a bottle of water, okay? And the Grand Canyon's there, and each time you do something good, you pour a bottle of water in the Grand Canyon. How long is that going to take you to fill up?
A long time.
A long time, right? And that's not eternal, right? That's just really big.
Yeah.
And so pretend this gap is like, pretend this is Evel Knievel. And he jumps off the dirt bike. He's only getting like this far. So you throw some stuff in there to kind of like make a joke. I use also like Michael Jordan jumping and like LeBron James and stuff, just to kind of paint the picture of this is something that you can't cross. And then so I'd be like, well, actually, the end of this verse kind of points to it, and it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay, and so. And then I would kind of go through the 2 Corinthians 5:21, and then the spiritual journey. And then I'd be like, so where do you think you're at on this? The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 being a Christian. Where do you think you would be on this?
I'm a 5.
You're a 5? That's great. It's kind of a silly example, but it's something that like, it's a good tool to have in your back pocket, and it's also something that's helpful just to practice. I've actually gone into conversations over the past 7-8 years since I've been a Christian and met people on the streets, and they'll say things, and I'm like, I have no idea how to answer that. You can sit down if you want. Thank you. There's a famous evangelist and guy by the name of Dawson Trotman. He actually founded the Navigators Ministry, and he said his goal wasn't to know everything, but if somebody asked him a question that he didn't know, he would go and try to learn what that person said or what that person asked him, so that if he was ever asked that question again, he would have an answer for it. And so the goal during this isn't to be perfect. So a lot of times this stuff has worked better when I mess it up completely and I'm kind of humble and nervous, and because God really does work through weaknesses. That doesn't mean that I want to keep being terrible at it, but it does mean it's okay. Like, you're starting this, and it just takes time to learn this and takes time to practice it. But this is one of, like, the several tools and stuff that we use on campus. It's one of the things that we teach our students. But, yeah. Do you guys have any questions about this? Is any of this kind of unclear or? Good. Yeah, so in the last 2 years at Ohio State, I've gotten to share with well over 100, and only 2 guys have professed faith. And those guys are being discipled. One of them's in Denver right now on a 9-week summer project learning how to do this stuff, and it was really sweet. He actually called me the other night and was telling me all the things that he's learning, and he's just like, it's kind of funny, like, when you tell somebody something, but they don't really get it until somebody else tells them the exact same thing. So this year we sat down and we learned this stuff and we talked through all this stuff, and he called me and he's like, you know, man, like, I think the thing I'm learning at SLP is just, it's the summer leadership project. And he's like, I think the thing I'm learning is just the need at Ohio State and just how I need to go out and initiate. And like, he and I would like meet up for lunch, and our goal would be, okay, today before we leave this table, we're going to meet 5 guys and share a testimony with one of them. Like, and so it's just sweet, like, that I'm leaving campus, but there are guys there that are walking with God now. They're going to get to share the gospel. And so the two guys that are Christians are going into their junior year, and they're both going to be fifth-year seniors. So they'll have, like, 3 more years on campus. And so it's exciting to think what God can do in them over the next few years. Kelly's actually way better of an evangelist than I am. I just happen to have the microphone. But, yeah, so, and I've never had people come to Christ directly as a result of this diagram, but this diagram has led into Bible studies that have helped them come to Christ. This is always kind of my go-to. So when I'm sharing with people, I normally go through a few things. The first thing I normally go through with them is kind of my testimony. So it's a big question. A lot of that is just because I'm on college campus, and they're like, why is a 26-year-old kid sitting in the cafeteria? Like, why are you paying $12 to come in here and eat with us? And it's like, I'm actually on staff with a college ministry my freshman year, and I kind of go through my testimony with them. And then that kind of even, like, lets me gauge, are they interested in the spiritual conversation, or are they like, all right, man, well, I'll see you later, like, and peacing out on me. But yeah, so this is a really helpful tool to continue investing in people. Yeah. Any other questions? All right. Well, this is what I had to show you guys tonight. I hope it's helpful, and I really do hope that even you guys try this week, whether it's, you know, at home on your spouse, or whether it's, you know, in Walmart or wherever else, that if there's somebody this week that you can think of and say, I just want to try sharing the gospel. I want to try, you know, maybe there's somebody on your heart that you've been wanting to share the gospel with for a long time. You haven't really known how to do it. Practice this a little bit and then share this with them. Say, hey, like, I learned something in church on Sunday that I feel like was really helpful. Even if you have to, you know, tell a little bit of a white lie, I don't know how helpful it is, but no. Or say, this crazy guy was showing us something at church. Like, here you go, here it is. But I think it really is helpful to reach people on a big spectrum of experience in church or not in church. It makes it pretty simple. So I'll pray for us, and then what's next on the thing? All right, so I'll pray, and then we'll sing and take off. So, Father God, thank you so much just for the gospel, God, that we have been given an immense privilege to tell others about you. God, forgive us for just how we let fear control us, God, that we let fear tell us who and who can't become Christians, and God, how much of the time we're just so arrogant to think that we are any way easier to save than somebody that we know that's lost and gone. And God, I really pray that you would move here, that you would move in this church, and that, God, you would even just bring salvation to people in the town of Linton and in Greene County. I pray that this tool will be helpful. I pray that you would get the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we ask, God. Amen.